1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, you've caught me in an awkward spot. Hold on here. What happened? Shucks. Well, hello. welcome, one and all. It's 1900 UTC on and on radio. I'm your host, DJ Marcus, here in Austin, Texas. I have a flight out to Boston tonight at 6 p.m. So that's in 4 hours from now for me. That means I've got 2 hours to enjoy life before, I've got an hour and some change, I guess. I need to leave the house in 90 minutes. But that's all well and good, because that means there's plenty of time for news to me here. And, of course, at 1930 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee with Telb. Just remind you, at 1900 hours on Saturdays is Publius's A Step Further Out, which is always a fun show, so check that out on Saturday, tomorrow. And, alright, we're filling up my water bottle. We're pretty much there. So, now we can knocking stuff over. One-handedness. Not the best thing for radio, but we're making it work. Make our way over here to the computadora, and we will have... come on. We'll get all situated. Just be one sec here. I got one of these floor mats, so my chair doesn't mess up the floor. But, unfortunately, now it gets stuck to the mat. The chair sticks to the mat sometimes. Causes a whole different world of problems. That's fine. Go ahead and type our password in. Alright. Now, once we've got our password in, we need to SSH over to sdf.org so that we can get in on Commode Chat. What's Commode Chat? Well, that's how we talk and interact here on and on radio. This is a new show, believe it or not. I just was giving you a little bit of filler while I was getting my water. Let's try that one. Yes. SSH and over. Sometimes takes a minute. Let's see. Waiting. It's hanging on. It's hanging for me. I'm trying to get in. What's going on? Both of my... I tried sdf.org and tty.sdf.org and meta.sdf.org, and they're all just sitting there giving me a blinking cursor. Oh, hey, there we go. SDF.org let me in. A bit of a surprise, but hey. Let's go ahead and launch Commode Chat. Just type CON, press enter. And boom. Then we will be in the Anon radio room. Now we're cooking. Let's see if we're bumping and jumping or not. There we go. We got Clinton in the house along with Claudio M and Bob Jonkman. CUJ. KH is here, along with Ionic 8827 and Handy C. So welcome, one and all. X1's in the house as well. Yes, we've got live news for you here on this Friday, May the 3rd, 2024. Now, let's see. Beautiful. I was asking around to try and find out what's going on. I would like a nice printer that I can print from my Mac wirelessly to. I have a Brother printer, a Brother HL-L2305W, that's Hotel Lima-Lima 2305 Whiskey. Fortunately, that thing, while it says it works, It is, I don't know, a yard from my computer and it just doesn't go. So anyway, if you have any suggestions for Mac-friendly printers, let me know. Otherwise, let's get this news on the road. May 3rd. All right, so we got some child death for you, I'm sorry to say. A 2-year-old. How did they die? Well, probably one of the funniest ways that you could die if you weren't a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old who was killed in a tragic accident after a bounce house they were playing in became airborne by a strong gust of wind has been identified. The child was named has been named the son of Arizona firefighter Carl Knapp and his wife Christy. Bodie and the other children were playing on a bounce house on Saturday when a strong gust of wind sent it into the air, leaving the toddler with life-threatening injuries. He was transported to the hospital, where he later died. A GoFundMe page was set up to raise funds for the parents, because she's also, the mom is also in her final months of pregnancy with their second, with another baby. Amidst the sorrow, they face the daunting task of preparing for the arrival of their newborn. So they've got $170,000 there in their GoFundMe, so they should be all right, taken care of for that. But yeah, poor kid, that's like a fish falling for a snapping turtle's tongue. Yeah, it's pretty rough. Claudio M, news from Com, Claudio M is on the road again. No traffic news, that's good to know. I purchased a CRV, and so I'm excited to say I've been driving more. It's a hybrid, but it still is not great to just go drive around for no reason. So I'm trying not to do that too much, but it has been fun when I do get to drive. Quentin, brother, is my suggestion for Mac and Linux friendly printers. It's true, it did show up just fine in my OpenWRT router. Maybe I'll try using the OpenWRT router address instead of the Bonjour address. Let's see what else we got. Also in Fuck HP now and forever from the Z-Man Zorhoff. All right. So yeah, that kid fell out of the sky and is dead. So that's unfortunate. A Boeing whistleblower, the second Boeing whistleblower, mysteriously dead. No, nothing to see here. Just the whistleblowers keep ending up being dead. Joshua Dean, a Boeing whistleblower who warned of manufacturing defects in the plane's 737 MAX, has died after a short illness. The second whistleblower to die this year. He was 45 years old and a former quality auditor at Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems. Filed a complaint with the Federal Aviation Administration alleging serious and gross misconduct by senior quality management of the 737 production line. In 2018 and 2019, two 737 MAXs were involved in fatal crashes, which killed 346 people. Dean was fired by Spirit last year and filed a complaint with the Department of Labor alleging it was in retaliation. According to the Seattle Times, Dean was hospitalized after having trouble breathing. He was intubated and developed pneumonia and a serious infection, dying 2 weeks later. He was represented by the same law firm that represented Boeing whistleblower John Mitch Barnett, who was 62 years old when he was found dead in March, from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But if you read the story, it definitely doesn't sound like, it's very suspicious. It didn't seem like it was self-inflicted. It was definitely a problem. Anyway, if you feel suicidal or you're having trouble with that and you think you might be a harm to yourself, you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Line on 988 in the U.S. You can also go to 988lifeline.org or you can text HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to 741741 to connect to a crisis counselor. In the U.K. and Ireland, Samaritans can be contacted on free phone 116-123 or email J.O., that's Junior Juliet Oscar, at Samaritans.org, or Joe at Samaritans.ie. In Australia, the Crisis Support Service line is 131114. 131114. 131114. Other international helplines can be found at befrienders.org. There you go. The ending of that. Sorry, Claudio M. I did not mean that. Yes, There's no traffic news today because I will be I am the traffic shortly. I get it now. Sorry about that. What else is going on? X1 has a brother M/1918 still going well, but with some plastic wearing on the back. Oh, that's good to know. BR laser package. Oh, thank you, Ingrix. That's probably what's going on. I just need to be sure and get the right packages installed, which is usually the case, right? Do you have the right drivers for what you're trying to do? If no, you may experience poor performance. Now, this is troubling and hard to hear, so if you are a delicate or if you are sensitive to violence or assault, this is a tough story here. Should take, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. While she was being intimate with her husband, a woman heard him say the name of one of their daughters. That's not a good sign. Later, when the 15-year-old girl told her mother that her father had abused her, the woman believed her because of what happened earlier. On May 3rd, the 47-year-old unemployed man was sentenced to 16 years jail and 18 strokes of the cane by high court after he pleaded guilty to 2 charges of sexual assault. 6 other charges, 2 for rape and 4 for outrage of modesty, were taken into consideration. Deputy Public Prosecutor Shamini Joseph told the court that the couple and their 7 children now lived in a 1-bedroom flat. The mother worked at a bakery and provided for the family financially, while the man worked odd jobs and usually stayed out late to drink with his friends. He slept on a sofa in the living room while the woman slept in the bedroom with the children. Oh, I'm sorry, Quentin. I didn't know that it would be vomit-inducing. Bad at that. But yeah. Yeah, so this guy will be beaten and then held in jail for a good long time. The mother... the man began molesting the... Oh, I can go into the details, but let's just say this is his 2nd oldest child, and it started when she was 11 or 12 in 2018. I don't want to give you all these details, but... Okay, yeah. Anyway, they go through in detail the process. He's got 7 kids. But anyway, this is in Singapore. I'm trying to skip over some of the more rough parts. At the end of everything, she took the girl for a medical checkup and accompanied her to lodge a police report on November 4th, 2021. The man was arrested on the same day and has been remanded in custody since then. Investigations reveal that he often checked the victim's mobile phone to ensure she didn't have any boyfriends, but did not do the same with the other children. The Department of Police said the victim initially didn't tell anyone about the incidents, as she did not know they were wrong and was afraid that no one would believe her and was fearful of the consequences. So, there you go. So that was the story. It's wild that this was happening. And I thought it was great because in the U.S. a lot of these rapes and sexual assaults get let off pretty light, but this man will be caned, and then spend, 16 years in jail and 18 strokes of the cane. So he'll still be in his 50s when he gets out, but, he will have been through it. So, to lighten things up, let's talk about not the death and destruction of the innocent. Electric car drivers have been turned away. What? How could this happen? Well, a father who was taking his child to Alder Hey Hospital in Liverpool says he was turned away from the car park because he was driving an electric vehicle. He was told to park next to nearby grass because his car, quote, could explode. Hospital said it had temporarily banned access to the car park while it was improving its sprinkler system. But industry figures have challenged the decision, pointing to research that indicates that gasoline cars are more likely to catch fire than EVs. And the article kind of devolves from there over there at the BBC, but essentially what it comes to is grass is not flammable. Essentially what it comes down to is the hospital is saying that they have car parks that have EV chargers in them, and they're not hostile to EVs. But they do want to have adequate sprinkler systems in their garage, and they're not allowing electric vehicles in while they update them. The industry and the man in general was upset because he wasn't allowed admission to this parking garage or this car park. So anyway, they basically go out the key metric that you'll want to know for later questions or if anybody hassles you about it is that... There was a report in 2022, and it said there were an average of 3.8 fires per 100,000 electric and hybrid cars. So out of all the, for every car on the road, 100,000 vehicles, 3.8 fires per. And there were 68 fires per 100,000 cars. This doesn't make sense. Oh, 3.8 fires per 100,000 for hybrid and electric cars, and 100,000 and 68 per 100,000 for regular cars. That's what it is. I'll put it in comm. See you later, Ingrix. Thanks for tuning in. Oops, I typed link instead of just pasting it. Agency found 2022, there were 3.8 per 100 for electric cars, and there are 68 per 100 for all fuel types. So there you go. That's what we got there. So way, way more electric, way, way more gas cars catching on fire. Speaking of fires, the tobacco company Philip Morris has sponsored courses for doctors in multiple countries in what critics have called a grotesque strategy. Medical education programs on quitting smoking and harm reduction in South Africa, the Middle East, and the U.S. have been supported by Philip Morris International or its subsidiaries, according to an advertising material seen by The Guardian. The WHO, the World Health Organization, said there are risks that the public health efforts could be undermined and called for partnership of this kind to be banned. Dr. Tess Legg of the Tobacco Control Research Group at the University of Bath, said sponsoring medical education was part of a strategy to influence how science is used in medical practice and an attempt to rebuild the industry's credibility among health professionals. Nicholas Hopkins, a professor of respiratory medicine at Imperial College, College London, said based on its market share, 15%, and the global death toll from smoking, more than 8 million annually, Philip Morris kills at least 1 million people every year. The idea that it should have any role in medical education is grotesque. The sponsored courses allow participants to collect credits showing they're engaging in post-qualification learning. Typically, doctors must collect a certain number of these continuing medical education, or CME, or continuing professional development points to continue practicing. So, yeah. something a bit crazy, right? Tossing is distinctly Scottish. Yeah, we called it the belt. It was a thing all through school. I've missed something, but it's okay. Such is life. It's 1918 UTC, so I would remind you, in just 12 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Shows there's every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. And it being Friday means that at 20 hours, we've got Something Blue from Harry Larry. And it's an amazing day if you're in a non-radio listener, because at 2100, we've got DJ Vols The Weekend, followed by DJ 10 from Berlin and The Third Ear. SCM has a show called IWTHNS, still on the schedule. I believe that ended, so there will be a replay probably. The ZDR Monster Show happens at 0100 UTC, and of course the Synth Battle Royale, if that's happening, will be at 0300, followed by the Sound Show tomorrow. Well, the next thing that I know about is the Sound Show from MJT at 1600, and of course a step further out at 19. Every goddamn day. good times, good times. All right, well, let's jump over to the other side of the let's jump into, let's talk about animals. I got a bunch of animal stuff to talk about. Animals. Zebras on the loose. Oh no, zebras on the loose, baby. The small town of North Bend in Washington is famous for its mountain life. Cougar and elk are often seen. Bigfoot sightings are frequent. Now something wilder has moved in, a zebra that has escaped with three others earlier this week on a way to the zoo. While locals quickly wrangled three, catching the fourth has proven to be anything but black and white. Oh, BBC, Max Matza, you're a card. Officials say the animals had moved into the Cascade Mountains, and efforts to catch it could take days. The animals escaped from the trailer on Sunday while they were being moved to Montana. Curious bystanders, including brunch goers and a professional rodeo clown passing through town, managed to corner three of the zebras within hours after they wandered into a horse paddock. But one remains on the loose 5 days later, leading to a large response by local volunteers and officials, and an outpouring of memes and silly adverts by Seattle area businesses. So, all right, see you later, Claudia. Have a good weekend.
Dallas Clark, a professional tow company owner and horse trainer in his spare time, has been helping lead the volunteer effort to track down the missing zebra. He's part of a group that normally helps rescue stray animals loose in the mountains, often hikers' dogs, but the occasional farm animal. So there we go. Zebra on the loose. That's what I'm picturing too, Bob Jungman. I'm not sure if that's how it works, but maybe. Italy has banned puppy yoga. Italy's Ministry of Health has banned puppy yoga classes, saying only adult dogs should be taking part in order to protect the health of animals as well as the safety of attendees. So there you go. You need adult animals. No puppy yoga. Dog yoga. Dog yoga, yes. Puppy yoga, no. In a note circulated on April 29th, the ministry said it was aware that organizers often borrow puppies from breeders. Oh, man, that's even worse. Borrow puppies from breeders. But because puppy yoga improves well-being, it should be considered as a kind of animal-assisted therapy, which by law can only be carried out by fully grown animals. Puppy yoga typically involves puppies roaming freely around a yoga class and sometimes being incorporated into yoga poses, or a yoga class followed by playtime with puppies. The ministry asked regional authorities to carry out checks to ensure puppy yoga classes do not take place. A handy C pointing out, yoga is a cessation of the oscillation of the mind. It's good to know. Thrigg says, stunt puppy. I think that's a fair thing. Stunt puppy. We'll see what's going on. But yeah, it's hard to do with the oscillation of the minds and everything. Let's see. They also say puppies used in yoga classes are often not transported in a safe manner, and they don't give them water or food to drink in the class. This type of activity is detrimental to the dog's well-being and only brings financial advantages to those who run the class. Last July, the UK's Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals urged people to consider alternative activities. While organizers claim the puppies enjoy socializing involved in the ancient Indian art, there is nothing in the environment which we would consider to be beneficial to these animals. Puppy yoga classes are popular across Europe and US. Other variations include kitten yoga, rabbit yoga, or goat yoga. We've got goat yoga here in Austin sometimes. And if you didn't think that, if you were worried about those zebras living and going free in the States, well, worry about snakes. This is something that concerns me a little bit. Climate breakdown is likely to lead to a large-scale migration of venomous snake species into new regions and unprepared countries, according to a study. The researchers forecast that Nepal, Niger, Namibia, China, and Myanmar will gain the most venomous snake species from neighboring countries under a heating climate. Low-income countries in South and Southeast Asia, as well as parts of Africa, will be highly vulnerable to increased numbers of snake bites. The study modeled the geographical distribution of 209 venomous snake species that are well known to cause medical emergencies in humans to understand where different snake species might find valuable climatic conditions by 2070. So, pretty rough. X1 wants to become a Jedi. You know, tomorrow is May the 4th, so you may get your wish. Kenya and Tanzania are bracing for Cyclone Hidaya. There's already been flooding and a lot of death. Over 178 dams and reservoirs are at risk of being broken down. 125 people are injured, 90 are missing, with 165,000 people displaced since March of 2024. So it is going to be tough times in Africa coming up soon. And the UK has begun mass arrests of potential Rwandan deportees. If you remember, the UK cooked up this scheme with Rwanda, where with people, when they show up in the UK, they will just ship them, if they're seeking asylum, they'll just ship them down to Rwanda, which is a safe country, and they can get asylum there. The British authorities have begun a series of operations to detain migrants in preparation for their deportation to Rwanda as part of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's flagship immigration policy. The UK Home Office, which oversees immigration matters in the UK, released a video on Wednesday showing armed immigration officers handcuffing individuals at their homes and escorting them into deportation vans. George Lucas was a Sith, apparently, according to Rats Who. China has blasted off a rocket to the far side of the moon, baby. China has launched a probe to collect samples from the far side of the moon in what is being billed as a world first. The uncrewed rocket carrying the Chang'e 6 probe blasted off from the Wenchang Space Center at about 1727 local time. The 53-day mission aims to bring around 2 kilograms of lunar samples to Earth for analysis. It will try to relaunch from the side of the moon facing away from Earth. This is described as the dark side of the moon because it can't be seen from the Earth, not because it does not catch the sun's rays. It has a thicker, older crust with more craters, which are less covered by ancient lava flows than the near side. Scientists hope this may make it easier to collect material that could shed light on how the moon was formed. So we'll see what happens, but it did launch successfully. 5 years ago, China became the first country to land a rover on the moon's far side, and by 2030, it aims to put astronauts on the moon, and have sent probes to collect samples from Mars and Jupiter. So we'll see what happens there. Oh, man. What else we got for you? Well, Space Force, I don't want to celebrate the United States military, we'll skip it. A former Canadian uranium mine has been returned to the state. State being like the government. The province of Saskatchewan has released the former Cleft Lake uranium mine and mill site from decommissioning approvals and its associated surface lease. Orano Canada Inc. has announced the area now has unrestricted public access. So if you're in the area, you may want to check it out. The project, which is some 75 kilometers south of Lake Athabasca and 15 kilometers east of the border with the province of Alberta, operated from 1979 to 2002, producing more than 62 million pounds of U-308 from 2 underground mines and 4 open pit mines. Canadian uranium, you better believe it. In May last year, the Canadian Nuclear Authority revoked the uranium mine's license held by Orano Canada for Cleft Lake Project, clearing the way for Orano to transfer the site to the province of Saskatchewan. The CNSC has previously released properties at the Legacy Uranium site to provincial control, but Cleft Lake was the first decommissioned modern uranium mine to reach this milestone. I thought that was neat. Thailand is considering a Seaborg. If you remember, this is a cool little bit of technology. It's a floating nuclear power plant. Thai Innovative and Sustainable Power Company Global Power Synergy Public Company Limited, or GPSC, has signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Denmark Seaborg Technologies, APS, to explore the potential deployment of the compact molten salt reactor power barge in Thailand. The MOU was signed at Denmark's embassy in Bangkok on April 24th by GPSC President and CEO Warwat. CEO Warwat Pattayasiri and Seaborg CEO Klaus Nyengard. Under the MOU, GPSC subsidiary of the Thai state-owned oil and gas company and Seaborg will assess how the CMSR power barge could be utilized in Thailand. Whew, man, I started to lose track there. All right, well, that's the excitement, I guess, of all of that. We've only got a few minutes left to go. Let me give you some other details, other headlines. Tyson Foods has been found to be dumping millions of pounds of toxic pollutants into U.S. rivers and lakes, including nitrogen, phosphorus, chloride, oil, and cyanide, among the 371 million pounds of pollutants released by 41 plants in 5 years. All right, we've only got 20 seconds to go, so please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. We'll be back here on Monday. I'll be in Boston Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I want to say. I might be back on Wednesday. My flight's at like 6 a.m. So anyway, I'll be back. Enjoy the Dubious Goals. Bye-bye.